Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, a special report from Adam Maguire on the cost of childcare as parents come under ever more financial pressure. We'd like to hear what you're forking out for care, so text us now, 51551. Throwing dinner plates at the wall and grabbing the steering wheel of his state car. Extraordinary claims about Donald Trump. As the government plans to place stark health warnings on alcohol labels, we ask whether it's a step too far. We'll also go back in time with Diarmaid Ferriter to the summer of 1922 and the early days of the Civil War. And from coconut to vegetable oil, Agnes Boucher-Hayes takes a closer look at the best cooking oils and how to use them. Our text number again, 51551. Our email address is todaycb@rte.ie. On Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. First this morning, the president of the Defence Forces Representative Association, PDFORA, has said soldiers who may be asked to help out at the airport could see themselves as being treated like skivvies. It comes after the government agreed to a request from the Minister for Transport, Eamon Ryan, that the army be put on standby to help with security at Dublin Airport this summer. I'm joined first on this by Eddie Wilson, CEO of Ryanair. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Claire.
You called for this to happen when we last spoke, when there were those huge delays at the airport in Dublin in May. You welcome it today, do you?
Yeah, I think we've got to look at this in perspective. You know, things have gone exceptionally well, I think, since May 29th. I mean, the security people up there are doing a fantastic job managing the queues, like in very difficult circumstances, because there are other delays as well outside of security, air traffic control, that is contributing to flight delays. But like, it's sensible to have, I think, the army in as a contingency in the background, so that if we have some other event, at least you've got some spare capacity there. And my understanding is that it will be a contingency, they'll be trained, and they'll release other DAA staff from elsewhere to join the queues. But, you know, you've got a lot of people up there working. My understanding is that they're working on overtime. They have a lot of office staff. They have extra people being deployed. And, you know, there will be an element there, I suppose, particularly at weekends in getting volunteers and that it's a sensible thing to do, to have the army as a contingency.
Okay, but you heard what I said there about PDFORA saying that the soldiers could perceive themselves as being treated like skivvies. And the question that's being asked is whether the DAA should expect to rely on the Irish Army to dig them out of this hole.
I don't think, they're not being dug out of a hole. It's just a sensible contingency. I don't think they're going to be in frontline positions, is my understanding. They will release other staff because there are other security duties there. It's not just for passenger security. You have different gate posts whereby people get access to the airfield. And my understanding is that they'll be there and that they, if they were required, and they'll free up people to do the passenger-facing things. But, I mean, security is it's not a skivvy's job by any means. And, I mean, if you go around Europe, it's not unusual. If you're in Spain, you'll see the army. If you're in Belgium, you'll see the army. In France, you'll see the army at airports. So it's normal. But I don't think they're going to be in customer-facing positions, is my understanding. But it's just a sensible contingency. People have been locked up for 2 years. They want to go on holidays. People are stressed out enough as it is, listening to things on, some of the newspaper headlines that have been out there saying there's going to be chaos. Everybody's trying to manage here. Mm-hmm. The airlines, the airports, the security people. But other people have to play their part as well in there, and it's to get people away. I think it's the right thing to do.
What do you think happened? Because when you made that suggestion, and others made it too, I think after you said it and backed you up on it, the government rejected it out of hand, and then we got this statement just after midday yesterday where we saw that the minister has consulted with the army, with the defence forces, and made this ask. Do they know something that we don't? I mean, are we looking at problems over the next couple of weeks?
No, I don't think so. I mean, as I say, the waiting times, the information that I have is between 30 and 45 minutes at the airport at the moment. People are still continuing to turn up early, which causes its own problems until they get a level of confidence about that. And I think you're just doing, there's no point in having reports afterwards as to what went wrong and it'll never happen again, which is the normal stuff that we do in Ireland. Like, let's do a little bit of planning here. And if there's a contingency in place, then you have something to rely on, particularly at weekends. And it's the right thing to do.
Okay, Eddie, stay with us if you can. Yeah. Because Louise O'Reilly is with us, the Sinn Féin TD and spokesperson on enterprise, trade and employment. Good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Claire.
Do you understand why PDFORA would say that their members could perceive that they'd be treated as skivvies if they're asked to do this job at the airport?
Well, it's very disrespectful, I think, to the members of the Defence Forces for them to find out on the radio or via the media that they're going to be deployed to the airport, particularly in circumstances where the government have set their face against it, as you have said, and publicly said repeatedly that they weren't going to ask the Defence Forces to come in to give a hand in the airport. But as usual, it's lastminute.com with this government. You know, there was no consultation with the workers themselves. And I suppose they're asking a legitimate question. And, you know, it's not just the members of the Defence Forces that are saying this. It's in the Commission on the Defence Forces, which recommended that an end be brought to the free labour aspect of military service. So I suppose what I'm hearing from PD Fora and from RACO, the representative groups, is that they expected, and I think it would be you know, prudent to have had consultations with them in advance of this, but nobody knew that this was going to happen until the press release was issued by government yesterday.
So they haven't been told whether they'll get a special allowance for this or not if they're called upon?
Well, they haven't been told what the compensation for this is going to be. They've also been told via the media that they're to be on standby. So does that mean that they have to cancel what they might have planned for the next number of weeks in order to remain on standby? Now, that could involve training. It could also involve annual leave for themselves. So where there's that kind of confusion, I think it's a hallmark of this government, mm-hmm. Claire, and you'll have heard me say it on more than one occasion. I do think it's disrespectful to the workers that are going to be expected to go into the airport. I also think that there needs to be negotiation with the workers who are currently in Dublin Airport, because they themselves are going to have a new cohort of workers coming in, and there needs to be arrangements put in place. And, you know, I do want to pay tribute to the workers in Dublin Airport, because they are, many of them are working huge levels of overtime. They're really trying to get
people
through.
So they might be glad of the help over the next 6 weeks.
I'm not suggesting that they won't be, Claire, but it's going to be of no help to them if it's not very, very clear where the members of the Defence Forces are going to be deployed, what the arrangements are going to be and how it's going to work. Of course, additional staff will be absolutely welcomed. I mean, but we also have to ask the question, the same minister now that's saying send in the Defence Forces is also the minister who signed off on 1,000 redundancies as recently as last year. And now we find ourselves in a situation whereby the Defence Forces are going to be asked to deploy to the airport to fill gaps that have been created by the government, who allowed 1,000 people to go on a voluntary severance package.
Eddie Wilson, if an issue of compensation for Defence Forces members arises, ultimately it'll be the airlines and possibly the consumers who use the airport who'll be asked to pay that. Do you think that's fair and right that the soldiers be given additional compensation?
I think we're looking at a very micro level here. Look, you know, there was clearly poor planning, right, in a lot of places, okay? But, like, we've got to deal with what we've got to deal with. The first thing is, the people listening in this morning, there are no problems at the airport at the moment, at all, right? There's between 30 and 45 minutes to get through. And what we're looking at here is people are being wound up with anxiety about going to the airport, right? And it's a sensible thing to put a contingency in. And I'm sure the government will deal with the army. And my understanding is they're not going to be in frontline positions. They will be trained and they may not even be called on at all. But if we hit something like a weekend where, you know, as the lady who's on there from Sinn Féin said, that a lot of people are working overtime up there, you don't want to have a situation where you have no spare capacity and DAA are releasing people trained to the line all the time. It's just simple, something in the background, you know, that you can call upon if it's required. It's not like, this isn't a major issue. It's just a sensible thing to do. And we're delighted to see someone at last do a bit of forward planning on something in case.
Yeah, go ahead, Louise.
These are people. They're not machines. So, you know, they might have to do a bit of training. Well, that's grand. When are they getting trained and who's going to replace them? I mean, the Defence Forces are already about 3,000 personnel short. So, you know, there's practical considerations. I don't dispute for a moment that they are going to be a valuable addition. But I would ask, you know, and as Eddie says, if the everything's working well in Dublin Airport at the moment, why is it now when, as I say, all parties had set their face against this? Why is it now that with a week's notice, they're going to be deploying defence forces to the airport? Do they know something in relation to a spike that's going to happen? It is a prudent contingency to have additional personnel on standby, but you need to deal with them as people. They're not machines. They need to be told where, when they're getting trained and how they're going to be trained and what the compensation is going to be, because this is new. It's going to be new for the members of the defence forces. These are new duties. So yes, they will probably require to be trained and all of that, but they will also need adequate compensation for that time. I mean, these are additional duties and we need to hear from the government. You know, it's not good enough to just say, oh yes, we're going to ask the defence forces to deploy to the airport. There has to be a plan in place as to how they're going to be trained, who's going to backfill them, and what does being on standby actually mean?
Eddie Wilson, I'm sure you'd agree that they need to be paid if they're going to do this work.
I'm sure they will be paid. I mean, but we're looking for problems here to solve problems that really don't exist. I'm sure, it's a matter for the government as to how they deal with the Defence Forces representatives. But I think the majority of people listening here this morning would say it's very sensible to be doing something to have it as a contingency. They're not going to be in frontline positions. It's normal throughout the rest of Europe. And all it will do is, if we hit something at a weekend, there's lots of people doing overtime up there at the moment, that you'd have somebody to man the other gateposts and release people to do the frontline stuff. And I think all the people heading out to the airport this morning would say to themselves, that's a great thing. It's for a number of weeks. And I think it's a very sensible thing to do.
All right. We need to do the same thing.
And we need to do the same thing with air traffic controllers as well.
I know, but that's why it's important that they get it right, because if the contingency is going to be needed, they need to get it right. That includes training, that includes compensation and backfill for the role. So I'm not saying that it's not a prudent thing to do. What I'm saying is it needs to be done right. And up until now, it's been a little bit lastminute.com for the government. And you shouldn't be starting with a press release. You should be starting by talking to the people who are going to be deployed to the airport. That should be your starting point for any government that respects those workers.
In the world that I live in the world that I live in, you've got to plan for these things. You've got 50 to 75,000 people going through the airport, and I think they'll all welcome the fact that someone is actually thinking about putting in plans. And I'm sure the idea that they will be able to brief the Defence Force is not beyond the wit of the Department of Transport to do. So,
there's a way of doing things that respects those workers and their right to be consulted, and that should have been done. And we also do need to look at the fact that 1,000 workers were let go last year with the acquiescence of the government. So that's what got us to this position. So we can't simply just puddle on as if there's no consequences for this. We need to look at what got us here. We need to look at the fact that this is now an emergency contingency, and we need to talk to the men and women who are going to be there to do the work and talk to the people who are working at the airport.
Kevin Byrne is with us as well, retired Air Corps Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Safety and Security Auditor. Kevin, thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, Claire.
Your own expertise now. You can probably tell us what the soldiers might be doing at the airport.
Yes, I find myself agreeing with both previous people, because the Defence Forces has a long history of aiding to the civil power. You know, this is a wee bit different. Formerly, they'd be doing things like helping firefighters, helping with bus strikes, moving fuel, or injecting me with my COVID vaccine, that kind of thing. And even recently, I saw them waterbombing on Howth Head last year when things got, you know, very heavy there. So they're used to this kind of thing. This is slightly different in that it's a commercial operation, so I understand that. I'd be amazed if you couldn't go to McKee Barracks on the north side or Carlbrough Barracks and ask for volunteers, because everybody in the Defence Forces, regardless of rank, will have done security duties, which includes, you know, vehicle entrance and people coming in and out of the barracks and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't take a whole lot of treatment or a whole lot of training, I think, to get the people up to speed if they're going to do that kind of work at the perimeters of the Dublin airport, releasing other staff to go into the terminals and do that kind of thing, because the Minister has said it's non-public facing duties. I would insist, as Louisa said, that if there's a commercial aspect to this, there should be allowances in advance in that regard. Okay. They're not free labour, they're not slaves in that regard.
Eddie Wilson has to go. Eddie, thank you very much for joining us from Ryanair. Kevin, you mentioned there that the soldiers will be working on the perimeter of the airport, so we can't expect them on the security desk or putting the bags on the plane.
No, initially I thought they might be doing, you know, crowd management and not doing the screens, but that has been ruled out, even though in some other airports I have seen people in uniform doing stuff like that. But that's a very trained job. It's the kind of thing I look at when I'm doing security audits. But if they're not meeting the public, it doesn't really matter. They will release staff who can go in and do that. And I think for 6 weeks, it's not such a huge deal. The treatment and training they'll get would be quite good, because, you know, it's an essential element. I think they'll get volunteers for that. Every week, for example, the DAA is putting 30 14 new people onto their training list, and they're being turned out, so to speak. So the situation will resolve itself. One other point I should make about Dublin Airport, it's a very important financial engine, not just for the east coast of Ireland, but for the whole of the country. It really is a very important thing, and it should be a pleasurable thing for people to go in and out as tourists build up in July and August.
And can you understand why PD Fora would say that their members, if they're called upon, could perceive that they're being treated as skivvies?
Indeed, I could. And indeed, RACO may have something similar. I was never on a RACO conference, committee, but I was a RACO returning officer for very, very many years. So I understand what's going on in that regard. The nature of these matters are that the statements are made first. You don't really get consultation afterwards. That should take place now. As I say, these are not doing jobs that are not appreciated, and the appreciation can be shown in financial terms. So it's work that can be done. I think you'll find people would like a change. 6 weeks away after barrack life might be good for some people in that regard. They should not be treated with disrespect, and I don't think it's going to come to fore in that regard.
And can you hazard a guess as to why the government position on this has changed? As I was saying to Eddie Wilson, it was rejected out of hand when it was suggested in May. Now we hear yesterday in this statement that it's happening.
I was a bit surprised, but the Minister for Transport obviously has spoken to the Minister for Defence, and they've agreed a package, so to speak, or a movement. It is contingency, though. I'm not sure if they will be required, except perhaps at particularly busy weekends, which are coming up, weekends which have bank holidays are particularly fraught with difficulties. But a contingency means people are on standby, and there should be an allowance for that. And I've no doubt that if the DA rang the Director of Operations, he'd say, could we have X number of people in 12 hours' time? That could be done. That is how it works in the Defence Forces. People know they're on call. They come in, they do it. And I think they'd enjoy the work out of the airport. It's a pleasant place to be.
All right. We'll leave it there for now. Thank you both, Kevin Byrne and Louise O'Reilly, Sinn Féin TD. Coming up next, we'll be asking whether maternity leave for county councillors is needed.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.